This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
I mean, really a shocking revelation from Brian Williams.
You're listening to Talk Sports.
Duke Cruz got me drunk, got me two fat white women, and I woke up, I was a VFL.
He woke up like a piece of turkey just right there between two pieces of white bread. Thick pieces of white bread. Texas toast. Just sandwiched right there in the middle.
Airing every day from
noon to 3.
I bet they made him breakfast the next morning, too. That's the good thing about those big girls. You wake up beside them, next day they'll take care of you. They don't just leave or ask you to leave. Next morning, you're going to get fed.
Going to brunch with them is not about the Instagram pictures. It is not about the mimosas.
It's about the satisfaction of brunch.
It's not about the Instagram captions. They want the biscuits and gravy, too. Matter of fact, they're like, hey, you know what? Let's just go to Cracker Barrel. Give me an Uncle Herschel's.
It's funny you mentioned Uncle Herschel's because that's what I usually get.
I know, Cody.
On 1340 WKGN.
Brian Williams. Thank God for Brian Williams just being honest with us.
In a world full of faking, he just wanted the big women and bacon.
Arms.
Hour two kicking off in the Fan Run Studios. Hour two headlines. What do you got for us, Cameron?
All right. We were talking a little NBA, so I'll kind of stick there for half a second. Did you see the story about Damian Lillard saving somebody's house?
I have seen this, but I don't. Have we confirmed it's like factual?
I'm waiting. Dame tweeted out, the guy said, let me see the ticket. Like, we're waiting to see if we can see the ticket. But the guy tweeted out Damian Lillard on April 19th of this year and was like, hey, man, like, big fan, but I need y'all to win 42 games this year or I'm going to lose my house. And Damian Lillard quote tweeted it and said, say less. And, of course, yesterday the Trailblazers beat the Nuggets to get their 42nd win of the season. So everybody found this old tweet and was bringing it back up,
I've seen it been talked about the last, like, 3 weeks, like, basically, every time the Blazers would lose, they would just people would comment like, "You're about to lose your house," like, and then the Blazers went on a nice little tear and won like nine of their last 10 games, and you know he wins whatever bet he has. But I was wondering if anybody had actually tracked it down and could verify that there was actually something there.
The guy was tweeting a lot yesterday. I still haven't seen him if he tweeted out a ticket or anything like that. He did. He did tweet out his ticket.
Well, what is it? What's it say?
It was a straight bet on, it was like minus 130, Trailblazers over 41.5 regular season wins.
For how much?
He only put like 260 on it, is what it looks like. That's not a house.
$260?
That's what it looks like, yeah. Reading this.
Nah, in the world, boo this man.
He said, wow.
This man.
What has this guy done?
That's not even a mortgage payment.
Yeah.
He's got all this clout for nothing. Are people roasting him? What are the replies to that? Roasting him?
Yeah, people were like, this dude bet 200 talking about a house.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody's like, here's that attention you ordered. Somebody found like one of those toy houses on Amazon and said, this is the house he was talking about.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oof. Somebody said he buy Monopoly houses.
Okay. Mm,
that's wow. Yeah, way to let the people down, my man. People were really pulling for you, and here you go. Only bet 200 on it.
Tennessee Tennis.
Ooh.
Beats Arizona. Vols win 4-3. After it come down to game 7. The last match 7, I should say. And Tennessee's number one came through, 7-5, 1-6, 6-2. And Tennessee's men's tennis team will advance to the Elite Eight. We just keep winning everything, man.
Except
football.
All the non-revenue sports are balling.
Tennessee keeps winning everything except football. Now, you couldn't, argue about, I guess, whichever one that, matters the most or whatever, but whatever.
At least the rest of our programs are pretty healthy right now. We just need the big one, the sleeping giant, to wake up a little bit. Then everything will come together. Everything will come together. Did you hear? Have you heard of a guy named Wontarius Bryant?
Is that the guy? Is that the guy that got duped, catfished?
It is. He basically got catfished by an NFL team. Somebody called him pretending to be Dean Pease, the new defensive coordinator of the Atlanta Falcons. This guy's a defensive back from Austin Peay University. Obviously went undrafted. And obviously this past weekend was a bunch of rookie minicamps, stuff like that, rookie tryouts. So teams were still bringing in lots of people. He got a call from a 404 number claiming to be Dean Pease. And, you know, talking about, hey, we want you in for a tryout, stuff like that. He ended up going to the Falcons facility, found out it was a hoax. Somebody was just messing with this guy and you know, called him, texted him, and was trying to, you know, bring him in. It was like, hey, the Falcons want you here for a workout. Come on down. Stuff like that. And, yeah, he ended up having to put a really sad post on, like, Twitter about how, yeah, it was an embarrassing moment. I was really excited for the opportunity.
I would ask why he shared it on Twitter. Dudes posting their L's online. Although,
I'm sure he probably tweeted out about, like, oh, got that call. Man. And then he was like, hey, got to follow that up, probably. So, is what I kind of assume. But, I mean, I guess he's using it as a chip on his shoulder to try to still
What is Hub football?
It's like a football camp that they've put together. I don't know exactly what it is.
Hub football invited him. He'll get to go on May 23rd, I guess, and try to work out. So, I guess that's why you post your L's online. You get some sympathy, and somebody will reach out and try to get a little good PR. Yeah. So, he'll get a chance.
Yeah, and that's a pretty, like, there's going to be a lot of NFL scouts at that trial. There's a lot of other, like, either players that are kind of, you know, fell out the league a little bit, or guys, other guys trying to get tryouts. Like, I mean, one of the biggest names was, like, former Broncos linebacker, like, Brandon Marshall's one of the guys trying out at it, stuff
he's
like that.
He's still hanging around?
Apparently. Apparently he's going to be at this tryout. So, stuff like that. So, yeah, he's trying to still follow his dream of getting the NFL. And like you said, I guess they just kind of gave him some, maybe he could still get invited, but this definitely makes it a lot easier to get that invite when you got the sympathy behind you there. Some other names at that camp are going to be people like Shea Patterson.
He's still hanging on?
He's trying.
I mean, I'm not going to besmirch him for trying to live out his dreams, but it seems like it's over for Shea Patterson.
But it just seems like a bunch of former NFL or guys that tried to make the NFL.
He's got friends in NFL, guys.
And yes.
There might be one or two guys get a chance from this, though.
Yeah, some of the younger guys. Like this guy may have a shot just because, you know, he's young, rookie, coming into the league, but we'll see.
All right, another headline here. Now that official in-person visits get to resume, they've been virtual only over the last year.
Yeah.
Tennessee basketball getting the local B.J. Edwards on campus for his official visit on June 8th.
That's big. If we can get that guy, who would like that?
I feel like that seemed like it was a, I don't want to say certainty, but I feel like people have been saying B.J. Edwards, the local kid from Catholic, is going to end up at Tennessee. But I guess his official visit will be here in a couple weeks. And, you know, maybe Tennessee can go ahead and start putting that next class together as well for 2022.
Let's roll. Let's keep it rolling. Let's keep it rolling recruit-wise.
You got any more headlines?
Yeah. Former Washington football team, defensive end, outside linebacker, wherever you want to classify him, Ryan Kerrigan. He's been a free agent, but he is not leaving the division, but he is going to the rival, Philadelphia Eagles. So the Eagles add some depth on their defensive line pass rushing unit, and Kerrigan gets to stay in the division and play against his old team. He's had a pretty solid career past 10 years, but it had been all with Washington.
How do you feel if you're a Washington fan? Conflicted?
I would think so. You feel like is he going there just to, you know, has a chip on his shoulder?
I would say that's wild because, I mean, he had offers from like Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh and the Bengals, I think, were a couple teams that were looking at him.
And he said, no, I want to stay in the NFC East, so I'm going to the Eagles.
Yeah, so I think he's taking it a little personal and trying to take advantage of that and, you know, get after those
I believe he is Washington's all-time sack leader.
That would check
franchise
out.
Leader. He's been, you know, really good for them.
Yep.
And that hurts. Maybe he felt cast aside, though. Maybe he felt like he still got something to prove, and he wants Washington to know that he does. Although, I'd be a little worried that the Eagles were the the team in the the division that wanted me?
Yeah, like the Cowboys could have been.
I'd say the Steelers probably just want him kind of as a situational guy as well. And the Bengals just want anybody. We'll see what he's got left of the tank. At 32 as a pass rusher, that's about the time it starts going away. Speaking of old, washed-up guys potentially, Albert Pujols has a new home. It's kind of the same as his old home, sort of, kind of. He left the Angels. He ends up with the Los Angeles Dodgers, stays in L.A. Seems like a weird fit, I guess. Yeah. To me, it made sense that Pujols would try to go to the American League. That way he could be a DH and, you know, maybe get some full days playing full time. I don't think he'll play almost any full games for the Dodgers. Maybe they'll give him one or two more at first base at some point, but it feels like he will just be a situational pitch hitter, and it'll be fun to see him do that, you know, when it comes time for big moments in the playoffs. If the Dodgers, I mean, I assume they'll be in the playoffs. They've been struggling a little bit recently, but, you know, we'll see if Pujols can come through in a couple big moments. And the Dodgers just like stars, and whether or not Albert Pujols is any good anymore, he's not. He's still a star and a name that matters, so the Dodgers collect another talented name, or at least another big name, and we'll see if he has any moment for them in the playoffs. It'll still be cool if he comes up in the sixth or seventh inning or the ninth inning in a big situation with a chance to, you know, come through in the clutch one more time.
Yeah, it would be cool, but I feel you on that. I'm surprised he didn't go somewhere where he could just be a DH, but yeah, at least he still found the home after getting released there.
I hope he comes through a couple of times for him.
Yeah.
I hope he comes through. Did the Cardinals just not call? People thought the Cardinals might try to bring him back. Did they not call, or did he say, hey, I'm in L.A., man. I'm not moving back to St. Louis. No,
that could have been it.
No disrespect, but like, I'm not really trying to move all that way.
Yeah, it would be be a one-year thing. And
I think I'm just going to ride it out here, guys. No offense. Love you guys. Miss you. Appreciate our time together. But, yeah, no, I'm good.
I'll sign a one day to retire over there.
Yeah, maybe. All right, go back to headlines. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Foster tweets in, I believe he's one of our resident Cardinals fans, says that Pujols apparently reached out to St. Louis.
Oh.
About going back, but that didn't work out.
Oof.
And I feel like I made Foster a Cardinals fan. I'm not 100% sure if that's accurate. I feel like I kind of just made that up. I don't know.
Just label him.
I don't know.
Just look like a Cardinals fan?
I just figured...
Draven looks like he'd be a Cardinals fan.
Draven definitely seems like a Cardinals fan and a White Sox fan. Yeah. Strangely enough, if I could pick another team, he'd probably be a White Sox fan, which is another team that people thought Pujols might make sense on. I'm sorry if I was, just made him a Cardinals fan. I think I just assumed that
since he was tweeting about
only Cardinals fans would come through with that information, I feel like. But speaking of legends and moving around, Ian Rappaport is not who did this. Excuse me. Albert Breer talked to NFL executives.
Yep.
And he has come up with what the cost of trading for Aaron Rodgers would be if the deal was to work out with the Denver Broncos, who has been the team linked to him the most. Albert Breer says it would cost Drew Lock,
okay,
Bradley Chubb, defensive end, guard Dalton Risner. I don't know how good he is. I'm not very familiar with him.
I'm not either, but I'm assuming he's a starter or at least a rotational lineman.
A 2022 first-round pick. A 2022 second-round pick. A 2023 first-round pick. And a 2024 first-round pick.
Jeez, that's...
The Broncos would get back Aaron Rodgers and a fourth-round pick in the upcoming draft.
Fourth-round pick. Threw in the fourth-round pick.
Four. Yeah.
That's a lot. That is a lot. 3 years of first-round picks. I mean, Rodgers
second-round pick on top of it. Yeah. Bradley Chubb. I mean,
Chubb
Bradley
is another big guy.
He's still thought of as a good player, right? I mean, I know he hasn't been.
No, he's been pretty solid for him over there, I'd say. It's just, especially with Von Miller, you know, getting to the end of his career, there goes both your big pass rushers. And then you don't have first-round picks to replace them with or second-round pick. Wow. I think that would just depend on how far along you think this roster actually is.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see because that front office and John Elway, I mean, I know he got kind of moved to a different role, but that front office, A, really needs a quarterback.
Yep.
I think this will be the last year where you could probably trick somebody into trying to trade for Drew Lock as a positive asset. But also, like, you need to take advantage of what window you have left.
Oh, for sure.
With that defense.
For sure. I mean, I think losing Bradley Chubb would definitely hurt. I don't think there's really any other, you know, pass rushers on the market right now that would make the same level of impact that you could, like, you know, bring in off of free agency. Or I can't even remember if they drafted anybody. But... I mean, yeah, you got to weigh a quarterback above a defensive end, I would think, obviously. But that's a lot of stuff. And it's kind of what you're saying. Like, yeah, how if you think this is your only window, and if you think that roster's just one big-time quarterback away.
So would you do it? If you're the Broncos, would you do it? Would you swing for a quarterback that is still – I mean, he won league MVP last year.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers is coming off of, I don't want to call it his best season ever, but he was pretty damn good.
Yeah.
However, he will be 38 in December.
Yeah. So if they can get two at least out of him is what you'd hope.
I'd say you at least get three.
Okay. So it covers the years that you're losing first round picks.
Yep. Every year you will not have a first round pick, you'll have Aaron Rodgers instead.
Why not?
I've come around that I don't – first-round picks in the NFL, when we actually, like, look at the list, it's really a 50-50 hit rate. Yeah,
it is. It is. And I think I would do it. Like you said, even if – like, say you do get Aaron Rodgers over there, and you end up being a really good team, your first-round pick's going to be at the end of the first round anyways.
Right.
Might as well ship that out. Yeah. Yeah, do it. If you're really serious about winning, do it. Do it. Pull the trigger. I would do it.
What about the other side? What about if you are a Green Bay Packer fan?
I mean, you would hate to see Rodgers go, obviously. And it would put your franchise back a little bit. But, I mean, you're getting three first-round picks. It's, you know, obviously, one in this upcoming draft, you'd have two first-rounders. You'd have an extra second-rounder as well.
I mean, it seems like the breakup's coming.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, yeah.
This does seem like maximizing the return. I mean, three first-round picks makes it easier to give up on him.
Absolutely. Like, if it's going to end, you want to get as much as possible, and I think this is a really good haul. Like, Bradley Chubb's going to help. You already got a pretty decent pass rush over there. That's just another element enhancing that. Get an offensive lineman to help, you know, to protect your line. You get three first-round draft picks, a second-round pick. That's lots of assets. And it helps you kind of just build the roster. Like, we've kind of talked about it. Like, it doesn't seem like they think Jordan Love is it. You may need to take another quarterback in the next couple of years. Having an extra first-round pick may be nice for that. Help you if you even trade up to get somebody. Anything like that. It just puts you in a better situation than if, you know, Rodgers just up and retires on you or, you know, somebody only offers you a lot lower return. Yeah, I think you gotta take it. I think you gotta take that if you're the Packers. And you know there's no way you can get Rodgers back.
Let's look at it from a third point of view. If you're Aaron Rodgers, would you do it?
Denver was on this list of teams.
We've had an official list of the teams like he wants?
It was the Raiders, the Broncos, and the 49ers.
Okay.
I
don't think it's gonna go to the 49ers now, you know, with Trey Lance being drafted.
Yep.
And you said the other team was who? The Raiders?
The Raiders. And I think you would think Denver's a better situation than that. It's on paper, roster-wise.
Yeah, I mean, like Jerry Jeudy, you could make the case. Like, he could be Devontae Adams. Or, I mean, you know, the same, you know, similar size, or at least feels like a similar type of receiver. Or
are you talking about
pedigree.
Ruggs over there?
Well, I was talking about Jeudy in Denver.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Ruggs in Vegas, which I don't know. He's kind of a forgotten guy at this point.
Yeah.
Ruggs, I mean, did he do anything at all last year? I know he had
He had a couple like big plays where, you know, right, you get behind defense, stuff like that. Nothing spectacular, you know, but it was solid. He was a solid receiver. But, yeah, you would think the Denver team has a lot more, you know, potential. Like, if you just look at that offense, I mean, Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, KJ Hamler, Noah Font.
Now, I don't know about their offensive line. I mean, they expected Juwan James back, and he's out there.
Yeah, they've been trying to make shift that a little bit. But also, at the same time, you would think with Aaron Rodgers being, you know, good enough of a quarterback that he can kind of, you know, make the proper reads and checks at the line and stuff like that to where, you know, he's not taking as many sacks as like a Drew Lockwood, for example.
Oh, well, yeah. See, the gap.
Better awareness.
The upgrade from Drew Lock to Aaron Rodgers. If I'm a Broncos front office person, there's no real price that would not be worth it, even if it's just for 5 years. And if you're the Broncos, maybe that was sort of the problem with Peyton Manning.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't think Denver would trade any of that though, right? I mean, Denver's not going back in time and not taking Peyton Manning because of like what they've had at quarterback since him, right? I mean, like, because I mean, I will say that probably didn't help that they could just rely on him and didn't have a plan for the future. I mean, they thought it might be Brock Osweiler, it wasn't.
Yeah, they missed there. And I mean, a lot of teams miss on quarterbacks, so I wouldn't fault them there. Obviously,
I would say they haven't had a quarterback though since Jake Plummer.
Yeah.
Am I missing anybody? I mean, I know there's a 6 games of Kyle Orton and Josh McDaniels' first year, but, like, it's just Peyton Manning and Jake Plummer for that organization, right? I mean, I guess Jake Cutler was good. We don't have to quite go all the way back to Jake Plummer. Like, Cutler was fine, but they got rid of Cutler, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, they have not had a great quarterback, you know, like you said, outside of recent years of Peyton. But
so they do miss. And everyone misses, but it does seem like Denver misses a lot more than everybody else. Like, it seems like they've been trying hard to get a quarterback and can't find one.
And if you feel like you can get a can't-miss quarterback, I feel like you got to take that. Like, I feel like you need to.
And obviously, Aaron Rodgers is still a can't-miss quarterback.
Yeah. If the Packers call you and this is what they ask for, I think you take it. Maybe try to see if you can finesse Bradley Chubb not being in the deal. But
yeah, I'd be like, really? I'm giving you 4 picks. Like, just take that.
Maybe add like
Dalton
another.
Risner. Enjoy Dalton Risner. You want to Juwan James?
Yeah.
He's injured, but he tries hard.
Yeah. He'll work out for you.
Yeah.
In or out of your facility.
He wants to get better. He was actually cut by the Broncos. I don't know if you saw that over the weekend. Yeah, they
tough for him. He's considering filing a grievance, but also there's not really much you can do under the NFLPA.
Feels like that's kind of messed up.
Yeah.
I mean, I get why they have rules like that to make sure that people are basically like people were getting injured and lying about things and saying like, oh, no, I was working out and I got hurt. When really they were like, you know, riding jet skis, riding motorcycles, doing whatever. Like, so it just kind of became a rule of like, hey, if you're not with us, you are liable.
Wasn't it like Suggs a few years ago? They got injured playing basketball.
I don't think the Ravens did him dirty though, right? The Ravens kind of
did.
Ravens kind of treated him the right way, but I mean, Suggs had done more for the Broncos or for the Ravens organization than James has. I mean, James played 100 snaps for him or something crazy like that.
Something low.
It does seem tough, especially during COVID. Like, hey, I got to stay in shape. Like, football's year round now. Like, I got to be working out somewhere else.
Yeah, and they weren't even allowed in the facilities yet, I don't think, at that point. Or, you know, most of the year they weren't.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, tough break for him for sure. Oof.
It's a business, but like, it's a business, but I would feel pretty bad if I was a Broncos player right now.
Yeah, and
if I'm Juwan James' agent, like, we're never signing in Denver. Like, I'm taking all my players.
Yeah, there's a lot of players apparently that are basically like keeping an eye on this kind of situation and, you know, seeing how these teams are playing this and they're taking note. So,
like, you'll see it in other sports, like in the NBA, like, you know, the buyouts happen for a reason to make the veterans happy, to keep the agent happy. In the NFL, it's more cutthroat. Sometimes it has to be at the salary cap, but like, that seems like a big misstep for Denver.
Yeah,
but that's a big loss for their offensive line. So if you are Aaron Rodgers and you go there, like, you're going to have to still be really, really good. Mm-hmm. It's like you're going to a situation that's catered to you.
Yeah.
Like, Peyton had to cover up a lot of deficiency for that Broncos team at first and, like, you know, was obviously able to. And then the defense was always really good. But, like, it wasn't like they came into a, you know, an offensive juggernaut. He kind of tilted that. the offensive line and such.
Yeah.
And then they had good, you know, some good receivers, although Eric Decker, I mean, was nothing special. Demaryius Thomas was a freak, but either way. So that's just one potential. That's apparently what the cost would be on a potential Aaron Rodgers trade, according to Albert Breer, judging from the NFL executives he's talked to. I think you just do it. Bite the bullet.
Yeah, I agree. You don't get Aaron Rodgers every day of the week.
You got three first-round picks just for moving back four spots in the draft or whatever the Dolphins did. So to get Aaron Rodgers, well worth it.
Yep.
Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Coming out last night on WBIR, Donda Plowman, chancellor over at UT, says full capacity for Neyland Stadium this fall.
Let's go!
No real surprise, right? I mean, as we kind of return, I mean, that's kind of a foregone conclusion. I didn't see any specifics of any requirements for vaccines or anything, right? Like, that's not going to fly in the South, right?
Yeah, no, there's no way. Like she even mentioned what she was talking about, but, like, they're not mandating students to get vaccines. They're just encouraged. Okay. So, like, if they're not mandating students to get vaccinated, it's not going to be a requirement to get in the stadium, obviously. But, yeah, they said they're looking forward to full capacity. Did you know this is the stadium's 100th year?
I did not know that before I read the article.
I didn't either, but it is. I feel like that's something they should have mentioned more. I don't know, or at least they probably will, obviously, closer to the season.
Yeah, I would imagine there'll be a lot of stuff hitting us over the head with, 100 seasons.
Yeah, 100,000, 100 seasons.
I don't know how many times we're going to be 100,000 this upcoming year.
I don't know either.
Do we think people will be hesitant to return to sports? Like, it didn't seem hesitant inside Lindsey Nelson. It seemed like people were there.
I would say absolutely not. I think people are excited to have stuff back. Did you see Atlanta United? I think it was over the weekend, had the largest crowd in the world since COVID.
What'd they have?
40,000 was apparently the largest crowd in the world.
That's the largest crowd in the world?
Yeah, since COVID, apparently. At least that's what the article I read said. So, I think people are excited to get back out there. People are, I think, have missed it and want to get back out there. And I think, you know, some of the people that want to get out there are either doing what they have to do, like if places are requiring vaccinations. I think some, you know, plenty of fans are like, fine, like, yeah, that's no issue to get that and to get back in the stadium. I think people miss it. I think people miss it a ton. And they, you know, live sports are different. I think everybody's going to take every opportunity they can to get back out there.
Are we just eager to get to anything? Like, what was the Atlanta United's scenario, Cam? Was it just a season opener? Has the season been going on? Is it the?
It may have been the home opener, if I remember correctly, because like their season just kicked off. I want to say they're only like 5 games into the season, so it may have been a home opener or a first or second home game somewhere around there.
Was it Atlanta United still good, right? Like, I'm trying to gauge,
not as good as they used to be.
I'm trying to gauge how excited people are. Like, are we lining up for anything? Or is it like, hey, this is a special moment? Because, I mean, like, you know, the Texas Rangers, for example, were like, hey, opening weekend, opening day, we're going to do full capacity, and then afterwards we'll go back down. Like, where's the Braves' attendance been? Because they've been 100% capacity, but, like, I don't feel like they've been full every night. I mean, and I know it's tough in baseball, regular season games, and there's so many of them and all that, but I was just curious, like, how eager people were to get out.
Yeah, that is a good question.
So, for, like, Tennessee Bowling Green, like, it's not like you didn't get a chance to go to the stadium last year if you wanted to. I mean, 25,000 people, roughly a game, went to go watch Tennessee play, 20,000, whatever the number was. A full capacity Neyland for Bowling Green is not going to lead to like a sellout, right? I mean, we're not going to sell out that game.
I don't think so.
Like, I would set the over under right now in actual attendance at like what, 78,000?
Yeah, I don't think it helps it's a Thursday either.
Yeah, no, I mean, that'd make it tough for out of staters to come in, and you know, even in staters. I mean, west of Nashville is going to be really, really tough, and even in Nashville, it's going to be tough to come up from. Thursday, rush hour, you lose an hour from work. Do you really want to take a half a day and then drive back in the middle of the night to watch Tennessee play Bowling Green? Some people will, because some people are about that life and love the Vols. But you know, if you're coming from Memphis, you can't even take a half a day. You got to take a full day.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't know if that'll be worth it to people. If Tennessee was empty all last year for sporting events, maybe. But again, you had 20-25% of people in the game.
Yeah, I think this was a, you know, season home game opener for Atlanta United is what it kind of seems like.
Okay.
But yeah, you know, 40,000 came out, and I mean, they have the record for, you know, they have a good attendance history down there anyways.
Right.
They have the record for biggest MLS game, but that's usually around 70,000 was the record they set it at. I'm not sure the capacity. I'm not sure if this was just full capacity and that's, you know, what showed up, but yeah, biggest soccer game in the world since COVID started, which I think is nuts.
I do not think that we would have assumed it would be an Atlanta United game.
Yeah, in the world, no, yeah. If you said MLS, I'd be like, oh, yeah, absolutely. But, yeah, world, you're like, there's like.
Is that a testament to, like, the way our country is operating compared to others? Are the soccer games not, like, full capacity over there yet? Are they still they're still going pretty, like, limited in Europe?
I guess so.
I mean, we just had Champions League games, right? I mean, I don't remember the, you know, the semifinals having a, you know, full capacity by any means. The UFC event, I don't guess, was at a place big enough. WrestleMania was outside. I would have thought maybe it could have eclipsed an Atlanta United game, but
yeah.
I think they were pretty cautious as well. Who would have thought Atlanta soccer would have been the one saying, hey, full steam ahead, open
right.
it up.
Right. But, yeah, I think people will get back out of sport. I don't know if anything is the right answer. But I think sports like football, people are going to be chomping at the bit to get back out there and you know, take advantage of that. I think some people are going to be out there for, you know, as much as – however much the NBA playoffs, I think, like, however much that's each stadium is doing, I think they'll probably sell out that for, you know, most of these playoff matchups for sure. But I think people miss live sports. It's like the same stuff like live concerts. Like, I know people just go into, like, almost any concert just because they're back.
The Dirks Bentley concert at the Joe looked pretty fun.
Really?
I mean, that's like a huge star. He's like, I don't know if he would still be considered a country music superstar, but
I know the name, though.
Yeah, the pictures and videos I've seen. Like, I mean, at one point he was a superstar. I just don't know, like, you know, in 2021 if he still is. But
yeah,
it was. It looked pretty packed of people ready to go. But again, that's a pretty big star. I don't know if we're lining up for any concert, but I do really miss live music and would like to go somewhere.
I think there's like I know a lot of people are going to, I think, like Moon Taxis in Knoxville.
That one's
going to
be outside, though, right?
Yeah, they're doing like those pod things, but I think that's sold out pretty quickly. I think people are just pumped to get back to live stuff. Anything that makes people feel like life is back to normal a little bit.
Moon Taxi's pretty famous, though, right?
At least around here.
Right, I don't mean like, worldwide or nationwide even, but I've heard people talk about them a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I think a couple of the guys are based from right around here, so, you know, they got popular that way. But, I think anything that gives people the sense of normalcy, people are taking advantage of.
Even a Thursday night against Bowling Green? Is that where we draw the line?
That may be where we draw the line.
Is that where we draw the line?
Just, like, hey, say if we were coming off like a 9-win year.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, people would be in there. But
sure.
Yeah, in our current state of our football program.
Yeah, maybe not. Obviously, I'm playing all that into it because I just don't know. Maybe the excitement will ramp up. I know last year everyone was, you know, willing to die. You know, we got a lot of comments, people saying, hey, we'll, you know, do whatever we can to get inside Neyland Stadium. I just wonder if people still feel that way. But the plowman says, hey,
full send.
Open it up. Full send. Let's go. We'd love to see it. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. This segment is brought to you by Kraft Axe Throwing. Use the promo code FANRUN, one word, for 15% off your booking. Located minutes from downtown Knoxville, Kraft Axe Throwing is a perfect night out. Go take advantage of it and support the people who support us. It was just said, Cam, that it is the first month, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
For the first time since the pandemic began, right now, currently, COVID cases are down in all 50 states.
Let's go. It's over.
It does seem wild that it's the first time it's happened, but it does seem like every state at least has made progress. So, like, I do think we are – past the point of worrying right now about sporting events.
Yeah, yeah. I think especially the fall stuff, I think, is all going to be full send, just all go.
We'll see what the NBA does with playoffs. It's still a little surprising that they're not going to take advantage, but maybe for the first round they'll say, hey, we'll keep it light. Yeah. Maybe they'll ramp up by the time the finals come, but it does seem a little strange, like they aren't back to 100% capacity, although it is indoors.
Mm-hmm. I did still think they were going to, like you said, try to take advantage of this and at least really jump up the percentage of people or something.
Did Atlanta United keep the roof open? Or do you know?
I saw some pictures. I want to say yes, because I think the weather was good. I'll have to double check on that, but I was pretty sure they would have.
Where was this at? Either way, seems like we're over that.
But yeah, and like you said, it does seem like more of the inside places are a little more hesitant, but I do think.
I would say, though, by like, you know, here locally. Do we have an update on concerts? Like, I mean, I feel like our indoor concerts full capacity. Do we know what that is? I mean, I know obviously maybe some of the bigger venues haven't gotten there yet, but like I bought tickets for like a December show, at the Tennessee Theater, and it seemed full capacity.
I haven't really seen a lot of concert news.
I know the Joe is kind of going by their own rules, and like they kind of
they've
been kind of full send, you know.
That's forever.
That's where we went for, New Year's. So, full send then. So, they've been kind of about it. I was just curious as we try to project this out. Tennessee basketball should also be back to 100%, right? I don't think Tennessee basketball is going to get interrupted by this either. And obviously, that's an indoor venue, whereas Tennessee baseball, outdoors.
Yeah.
It's been 100% since the weekend. And Tennessee football, as Plowman tells you, will be back to normal.
Yeah. Simple Google search tells me Wells Fargo announced they'll do full capacity concerts in late 2021.
Okay.
It seems they're slowly just increasing capacity at different venues.
We'll see how the NBA adjusts. I want a full capacity playoff, although.
Yep.
They've tried to be as slow and, for lack of a better term, liberal with their approach as, really any entity, it seems like.
Yeah, for sure. They're playing it safe for sure.
So maybe they just try to make it through the year and say, hey, we'll try it. We'll try it again. We'll try it again next year. Sure. We were talking earlier before that about, quarterback.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers and, moving around. Our friends over at FanDuel has put out some odds at least for four of the battles at starting quarterback.
Ooh.
For the Broncos, Drew Lock +145 to start.
That checks out. I was going to say, I'm leaning Teddy on that one.
Well, Teddy's tied with him at +145 as well.
Okay.
Ripien.
Oh.
At 16 to 1. I don't think he will make it.
Let's go, Brett.
And it says any other at +220. I would imagine the field, is basically just do they trade for Deshaun Watson or Aaron Rodgers? +220.
Huh. Okay. I
for the Saints, Winston -280 as a favorite.
Yeah, I thought he was pretty much decided almost at that point, but they were going to hand him the keys.
Taysom Hill +220.
That checks out, I think.
Ian Book, 16-1. Trevor Siemian, 20-1. So, it feels like we think that's Winston's team.
I think so. I think they are handing him the keys there and letting it go. And, Taysom's going to still have his role he likes to play where he can do a little bit of everything. And, Winston, I think, will be the main guy. I think that's kind of why they let Taysom start last year, too. When Breeze was out.
Just to say they gave him a chance?
Yes, and in case Jameis would have went out there and looked terrible. I think they kind of want, want to give him a fresh slate here and, see if he can be the guy going forward. And if he would have came out last year and looked terrible in that spot duty, you'd be like, uh-oh, we don't have anything. And I think it was kind of just, not being in denial or anything, but just kind of being like, I'm scared to see what we have right now. And yeah, you want to see also the same breath, you want to see if Taysom actually like has it. So I think it was to protect Jameis a little bit, not ruin his confidence if he struggled a little bit last year, and let him have the confidence that he's going to be the guy this year.
You're a little bit nicer than I am. I thought it was a play to limit Jameis's value.
And money
he could get on the market.
That makes sense too, since they knew they were going to be hurt with the cap.
They knew, like, yeah, we needed Jameis back at a discounted rate, and yep. We already got Taysom on the book, so let's play him. We could piece this together. Whereas if we let Winston play too much, maybe he'll be like, hey, I'm a starting quarterback. I need starting quarterback money. That's what I thought about it. And when the Saints, you know, bring him back, it seems like that's probably the case.
Yeah.
The other teams with some quarterback battles, the 49ers,
mm-hmm.
Jimmy G minus 320. As a pretty big favorite, of course, you got to bet $320 to win $100.
Yep.
That he will be the week one starter. Trey Lance at plus 240. Nick Mullins at 16-1. It won't be Nick Mullins.
It will not be Nick Mullins.
Unless Jimmy G gets hurt, and then maybe they'll be like, hey,
unless the first two quarterbacks die, Nick Mullins will not be the starter.
That would be pretty funny if it was. I mean, I could see maybe if Jimmy G got hurt right, like the game week.
Yeah, yeah.
Something happened and he got hurt.
You know, like, the playbook best. Like, yeah.
Yeah, you didn't want to throw Lance out there week one.
Yeah.
You want to give him a little time. But no. Jimmy G listed as the favorite there. No real surprise. And then with the New England Patriots, Cam Newton minus 270. So he's basically on the same par as what Jameis was in terms of being the starter. Mac Jones at plus 230. I will say, of those four, it seems like he's the most likely to be the backup starting outside of maybe, I guess, the Broncos. You could make Bridgewater's a co-favorite. And
yeah.
I don't hate the flyer on field as well, although plus 220 seems a little low. But, like, Mac Jones, apparently really impressive in the rookie camps that fired off over the weekend.
Okay. Huh. There's no odds for the Bears? They have a battle there at all?
I do not see the Bears on there.
Okay.
I do not see the Bears on there.
I was saying, I didn't know if they thought Fields had a chance to get the opening day start. I would imagine his would be
pretty similar to what Newton and Jones was.
Yeah.
Maybe what Jimmy G and Lance was. Maybe it's more like minus 320, yeah. Plus 240.
And then Foles would be in the mix too, I guess.
Is Foles still there?
Yeah. It was like a 2-year deal.
He's still getting a check?
Yep.
What a finesse.
Right? Gets that Super Bowl and just hangs around teams.
Is Tyler Bray still there getting a check? Do we know if Bray's still getting paid?
He would have been on, like, the practice squad.
That's what I'm asking. How many quarterbacks are they financing here?
That's a good question. I don't know if Bray's still there. I haven't heard of anything of him getting cut, but also haven't heard anything about him in the league either. Let's see. Tyler Bray.
I mean, I don't really care if Tyler Bray's there. I was just thinking about the possible quarterbacks.
I forgot he was there.
Okay.
He's a free agent.
Of those incumbent quarterbacks, like Jimmy G's probably the most likely to start, right?
Yeah.
Like Cam, do you think Cam gets to play?
Yeah, I do think Cam will be the starter, but if he struggles like last year, he will. I feel like they'll pull him with the quickness if Mac Jones is looking as good as they say.
Will Cam be the starting quarterback in Week 4 when Tom Brady comes to town?
Who do you know their first three games?
The Patriots?
Yeah.
No, not off the top of my head. The Patriots, week one, don't they play
the Dolphins?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, you could lose to the Dolphins. Let's see here. Yeah, they got the Dolphins, then the Jets, then the Saints. So they could be 1-2.
1-2.
0-3 would be rough look.
So coming out of that, if you got embarrassed by Tampa Bay and you're 1-3 coming out of that, maybe you go with Mac Jones at that point.
Yeah. They don't have their bye week till week 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, it looks like.
Okay.
So maybe you wait till then and then let him play out the second half of the year. Because then you still...
It'd be interesting.
Nine more games.
It'd be interesting to see how Belichick navigates that quarterback situation. And if Cam, I think they owe. I feel like Bill probably feels like he owes it to Cam to give him a fair shake with these receivers and an actual team.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's what they're going to do. I mean, yeah, if they give him the. If they gave Mac Jones the reins after the bye week, they would. They have a pretty tough stretch down the stretch there. Not the worst, but like they open back up at the Panthers. Host the Browns, Falcons, Titans, Bills twice, the Colts, Dolphins again, and the Jags.
Belichick has to be, like, super motivated this year, though. Like, if I'm Belichick, yeah. I would imagine I'm coming in much more focused. Like, last year, okay, whatever, it happened. And then by the time the Bucs are making their Super Bowl run, you're like, okay, this is unacceptable.
Yeah. He wants to at least still show that he's a really good coach and can coach some people up, so.
But imagine he comes in with a little bit of a sense of urgency.
Yeah, yeah.
Hour two in the books. We'll kick off hour three of headlines. We got some winners and losers of the weekend. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.